ॐ यज्ञमिन्दस्य जनार्दनसलकया चक्षुस्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले सायं रूपगदमायं ददति सा पुनन्दिकम् मञ्जकोपतुरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभैव च पतितनं पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः Prithu Maharaj had threatened so heavily the earth planet, although she was a woman, and it is a duty of the king or any citizen, the woman shouldn't be chastised. And she was also in the shape of a cow, and one of the main functions of royalty is to make sure that the cows are protected. We saw this with Maharaj Prickett. As soon as this was described in the first canto, as soon as he saw someone trying to hurt a cow, even though that person was in the dress of royalty, he immediately drew his sword and prepared to kill that person. But yet Maharaj Prithu was furious at the earth in the form of a cow. Why? Because she was withholding the grains that were meant for the citizens, to feed the citizens. And therefore, because of the withholding of the earth, the citizens were starving. And Maharaj Prithu would not tolerate this. So he pulled out his sword and he threatened the earth, as we heard yesterday. And each one of the arguments that the earth offered, that she shouldn't be killed, Maharaj Prithu countered. But yet, and was so angry. So in text 28, evam manyum mayim murtim kritanam eva bibratam pranata pranjali praha mahisanjatave patu. At this time, despite the arguments of the earth, Prithu Maharaj became exactly like Yamaraj, and his whole body appeared very angry. He appeared as if death for the earth planet. In other words, he was anger personified. After hearing him, the planet Earth began to tremble. She surrendered and with folded hands began to speak as follows. So the Earth saw the Lord, because Krishna in the Vedas it describes, Raso Vaisa, that Krishna is the source of all rasa, or relationship. So every relationship that one can taste within this world or in the spiritual world, Krishna is the source of that. So anger is one of the emotions, and according to one's own mood and one's own activities, one will perceive Krishna in one out of different ways, in a different way, according Krishna reciprocates with the mood of the devotee. This is one of the essential points to understand in Krishna consciousness. Tam bhakti yoga paribharajita ritsaroja. That Krishna will reciprocate with us. He actually comes, he manifests in our heart. according to how we develop a taste or our mood in relating with him. So when Krishna walked into the assembly of King Kamsa, not the assembly, the wrestling arena, and the different people there saw him in different ways. The wrestlers saw him as death personified. People were fearful of him. Some saw him as the most charming youth, most beautiful boy. Others saw him as the most wonderful of children. So, the earth had a particular relationship with the Lord who was Maharaj Prithu at this time. And the Lord was so angry, and she began to tremble because she had enraged the Lord. Death personified. Just imagine how terrified we would be if we saw death personified, that form that was exactly meant for our death, and it was unavoidable. Nothing we could do about it. That is death personified. So the earth, therefore, began to tremble, and then began to speak after surrendering to the Lord. The planet Earth spoke, Daruvacha, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are transcendental in your position, and by your material energy, you have expanded yourself in various forms and species of life through the interactions of the three modes of material nature." So, 2 points there. You are transcendental, the earth said. Transcendental means beyond. Beyond what? Beyond this world of matter. Krishna exists in the spiritual world. Wherever he is the spiritual world. He has nothing to do with the material energy whatsoever. Maya paite abhimukhe cha balajamanam. Maya, or the illusory energy, out of her shyness, out of her shamefulness, stays far away from Krishna. So Krishna is transcendental, yet he is the creator, he is the controller of this world. So how is he beyond having nothing to do with the material world and yet the creator and the controller? So the earth says that you are transcendental in your position, and by your material energy you have expanded yourself in various forms and species of life through the interaction of the three modes of material nature. In other words, Krishna does everything through his energy, indirectly. Vistavyaham idam krishnam ekam sena stito jagat. He maintains, supports, creates everything through his energy, not directly, and he himself is beyond. She continues, so you are transcendental, you are beyond, and you do everything through your energy. Unlike some other masters, you always remain in your transcendental position and are not affected by the material creation. In other words, there are so many masters in this world. Everyone is the master of something. So there's little teeny masters, and there are big, big masters, up to the greatest of the controllers of the material world, the great demigods, Brahma, Shiva. They're all masters. But unlike these masters, or any other master, practically speaking, you always remain in your transcendental position. You are always beyond, regardless of the fact that you are the ultimate controller of this world. And you are not affected by the material creation. So although you control it, when you're controlling something, because you invest your energy into it, because you have to invest your energy into it, otherwise how can you control it? So by that investing of the energy through controlling it, you become caught by it and it affects you. You have to react to how it reacts to your controlling power, your shakti, your power. So in that way, the controllers, the masters of the world, be they big masters or tiny insignificant masters, become entangled within the world, the very same thing that they're trying to control. But Krishna, the earth is saying, a very wonderful prayer, that you are not affected by the material creation because you are always transcendental. Despite the fact that you are the ultimate controller, you are beyond this material world and are not touched by it. So this gives us a glimpse of Krishna's Achintya Shakti, his inconceivable power. He can do things that no one else can do. So you are not affected by the material creation, which is subject to different material interactions. So it's interacting one thing after another. Consequently, you are not bewildered by material activities. So this concludes her points given in the first verse. So the first point, you are beyond. But yet, you are still controlling the material world, but how do you do it? Through your energy. And you are not like, third point, you are not like some masters who by their controlling, because master means controller, who by their very controlling, they become entangled within the material world. You are always beyond, and beyond means you are not bewildered, because as soon as we become entangled in the material energy, we immediately become bewildered by it. We immediately become bewildered under the control. As soon as we become entangled by the material energy, we become under the control of the material energy and bewilderment occurs. So, Krishna is not like that. No transformations in him. He is aloof, transcendental, beyond. Never bewildered. Never tinged or touched by the material energy. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. After King Prithu gave his royal command, the planet Earth in the shape of a cow could understand that the king was directly empowered, was a directly empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Consequently, the king knew everything, past, present, and future. Thus, there was no possibility of the earth's cheating him. The earth was accused of hiding the seeds of all the herbs and grains, and therefore she is preparing to explain how the seeds of these herbs and grains can be again exposed. The earth knew that the king was very angry with her, and she realized that unless she pacified his anger, there was no possibility of placing a positive program before him. That's a hint. When someone is angry, the first thing we have to do is remove the angry, because you can't argue with an angry person or a person who's very disturbed. It's a hint on interpersonal dealings. First thing is the anger has to stop. So even this was true with Maharaj Prithu, and the earth understood this. So first we have to cool down the Lord, try our best to pacify his anger. Therefore, in the beginning of her speech, she very humbly presents herself as a part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's body. Because you expand yourself in various forms and species of life through the interactions of the three modes of material nature. Nothing is outside of you, dear Lord. Therefore, I, the earth, am also not outside of you. I am part of your universal body, the Visharupa. We've heard this point several times in the second and third canto. So I am part of you, so please do not be angry at me. And the purport, Prabhupada continues. The Lord is always completely free from the activities of the external energy. The Lord is always situated in his internal energy. What's the internal energy? His spiritual potency, eternal potency. Vishnu Shakti Paraprakta. Spiritual energy. Sambhavam Maya. When Krishna comes, he comes by his own Atmamaya, or his spiritual energy, again never tinged by the material energy. So all these points are so important for us to understand. Why? because later on we're going to hear about Krishna. And Krishna's activities are the hardest activities, the most difficult activities to understand. Why? Because they are Naralila. They so closely resemble the activities of human beings, but actually they have nothing at all to do with the activities of human beings, which are under the control of the three modes of material nature, especially passion and ignorance. So Krishna's activities are the reality, while those activities of human beings are reflections. Krishna's dealings in Vrindavan, there are so many cowherd people being motivated by one, two, or three of the modes of material nature and combinations and permutations of those. But Krishna's activities, cowherd activities, is wandering around shoeless. Shila Trinankarai Nattapada. That Krishna would wander like a shoeless boy in the forest, and the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, they would be in distress, thinking that his lotus soft Nalini Sundaram Pada, his soft lotus feet, would become pierced by the rocks, the sharp grass, the seeds. And they'd be shiladittina, they become so distressed. So Krishna's transcendental feet never leave the transcendental land of Vrindavan, which is composed of spiritual energy, sudasattva. And nor are the gopis and the other residents of Vrindavan's fear and love for Krishna, nor are they do they have anything to do with the material world whatsoever. So at this point, perhaps we can only understand it as different from the material world, but yet something like it. So to understand that nothing, janma karma chame divyam, that all of Krishna's birth and activities are all divyam, they are transcendental, that alone is sufficient. They have nothing to do with the material world. Just understanding that in truth, tatvata, we will never take birth again in the material world, just if one deeply understands that one point. So these points are so important. So he is completely free, just like if you're in prison. Just imagine how hard it would be to be in prison. What's the worst part about being in prison? Yes?
The walls.
The what? The walls.
The
restrictions. You can't... yes, God. What's the worst part of being in prison?
It's the prisoners.
The other prisoners. Good point. Huh? Freedom restricted, you can't do anything when you want, lights out, lights on. And then if someone said, if you understand this one thing that I'm now going to tell you, you're going to be free, you're going to be freed immediately, we would be very eager to understand that one thing, wouldn't we? Well, understanding janma karma jame dibhyam evam yovati tatvata tatvadeham punar naitimam janma naitimam. No more birth again if one understands the activities of Krishna's divyam, transcendental, divine. So he is completely free from the activities of the eternal energy. And another point in this regard, if you're in prison and then someone said, if you just understand this one thing, you'll be free. What would you think about that person who was telling you that? You'd be very appreciative. Quite appreciative. So Prabhupada is telling these things again and again and again so we understand them. The Lord is always situated in His eternal internal energy, never touching the material energy. Therefore, in this verse it is stated, Sarupa Anubhavena, the Lord remains completely in His internal potency and yet has full knowledge of the external energy as well as of the internal energy. Just as the devotee remains always in a transcendental position, keeping himself in the service of the Lord without becoming attached to the material body. That little phrase that Prabhupada attaches onto that sentence is very important. The Lord does this. He has full knowledge of the spiritual energy and the material energy, and the devotees are transcendental too. How? Did anyone catch that phrase that Prabhupada said? How do the devotees remain transcendental? Because this gives us the key of how we can be out of the material world. How? Did you hear? Do you remember? Bolie?
The devotees remain transcendental by not being attached to the material body.
Yeah, but those, yes. But there is something positive too. Listen. Just as his devotee remains always in a transcendental position, keeping himself in the service of the Lord without becoming attached to the material body. So if we think ourselves, Jivera Sarupai Krishna Nityadas, that I am Krishna's servant and always serve the Lord, then not thinking ourselves the material body. So on one hand, servant of the Lord and engaged in that service, and on the other hand, not the material body, then the devotee also remains transcendental, beyond the material world. Srila Rupa Goswami says that the devotee who is always engaged in the devotional service of the Lord is always liberated, regardless of his material situation. Regardless of his material situation. What does that mean? It means that it doesn't make any difference what our material situation is. Now, each and every one of us have our own material situation, and each and every one of us have strengths and weaknesses in our material situation. But regardless, because that's what a material situation means, it means duality, strengths and weaknesses. But regardless of our strengths and weaknesses, the good and the bad, that if a devotee always engages in the devotional service of the Lord, he is always liberated. Always. If it is possible for a devotee to remain transcendental, it is certainly possible for the Supreme Personality of Godhead to remain in his internal potency without being attached to the external potency. So this is the secret of devotional service, that devotional service is actually the internal potency of Krishna. So Krishna remains situated in his internal energy, his spiritual energy, and the devotee similarly does the same thing, the actual devotee. He does exactly the same thing. He remains situated in Krishna's internal energy by the process of bhakti, devotional service. Always engaged in that way. So this is very wonderful. There should be no difficulty in understanding this situation. Just as a devotee is never bewildered by his material body, the Lord is never bewildered by the external energy of this material world. A devotee is not hampered by the material body, although he is situated in a physical body that runs according to so many material conditions. Just as there are five kinds of air functioning within the body and so many organs, the hands, legs, tongues, genitals, rectums, etc., all working differently, the spirit soul, the living entity, who is in full knowledge of his position, is always engaged in chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and is not concerned with the bodily functions. Although the Lord is connected with the material world, he is always situated in his spiritual energy and is always unattached to the functions of the material world. Text 30. So again, this was on those four points that the earth planet, the earth said to Maharaj Prakrit, Maharaj Prita. So the earth continued, so you're transcendental, you're beyond, I am part of you, you're always beyond, even though you're, everything is coming from you. My dear Lord, she continued, you are the complete conductor of the material creation. You have created this this cosmic manifestation and the three material qualities. Conductor, like the conductor of a train. The controller. And the creator. You have created this cosmic manifestation and the three material qualities. And therefore, you have created me, the planet Earth, the resting place of all living entities. Yet, you are always fully independent, my Lord. Again, the same point, you are beyond, you are independent. But yet, you have created me. I am the resting place of all the living entities. Now that you are present before me and ready to kill me with your weapons, she was trembling, afraid. Let me know where I should go to take shelter and tell me who can give me protection. If you, the creator, the controller, want to kill me, where can I go to gain protection? Prabhupada's purport. The planet Earth herein exhibits the symptoms of full surrender before the Lord. As stated, no one can protect the person whom Krishna is prepared to kill, and no one can kill the person whom Krishna protects. Because the Lord was prepared to kill the Earth planet, there was no one to give protection to her. We are all receiving protection from the Lord, and it is therefore proper that every one of us surrender unto him. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord instructs, Sarvadam Prityaja Mamekam Sharanam Braja Aham Tam Sarva Papebhyo Moksha Shami Masucha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur sings, my dear Lord, whatever I have, even my mind, the center of all material necessities, namely my home, my body, and whatever I have in connection with this body, I now surrender unto you. You are now completely independent to act however you like. If you like, you can kill me, and if you like, you can save me. In any case, I am your eternal servant, and you have every right to do whatever you like. So the earth was surrendered, and Prabhupada is describing what surrender means. Putting oneself under the merciful protection of Krishna. Gotipte varanam tata. The earth continues. In the beginning of creation, you created all these moving and non-moving living entities by your inconceivable energy. This is what God is. Through this very same energy, you are now prepared to protect the living entities. Indeed, you are the supreme protector of religious principles. Why are you so anxious to kill me, even though I'm in the form of a cow? You're giving, she's explaining things very gently. You're the creator, you're the protector of everyone. There's nothing I can do if you want to kill me. But why do you want to kill me? You're the protector of all living entities. So why do you want to kill me, even though I'm in the form of a cow? So in the protection of all, your desire to protect all living entities, please also protect me as well. My dear Lord, although you are one, by your inconceivable potencies, you have expanded yourself in many forms. Through the agency of Brahma, you have created this universe. You are therefore directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those who are not sufficiently experienced cannot understand your transcendental activities because these persons are covered by your illusory energy. So she's describing further the position of the Lord as the Creator is completely transcendental, and again implied that she herself is one of the creations of the Lord, and since the Lord is so concerned with protecting those whom are dependent upon him, she is also dependent upon him. Take a This is Prabhupada's purport, very important purport. Unless one is favored and especially endowed with grace, he cannot understand how the one Supreme Personality of Godhead acts through his different energies. The living entities are also the marginal energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma is also one of these living entities, but he is especially empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although Brahma is supposed to be the creator of this universe, actually the Supreme Personality of Godhead is its ultimate creator. In this verse, the word mayaya is significant. Maya means energy. Lord Brahma is not the energetic, but is one of the manifestations of the Lord's marginal energy. In other words, Lord Brahma is only an instrument. An instrument of Krishna's plans, because everything is the energy of the Lord. Although sometimes plans appear contradictory, there is a definite plan behind all action. One who is experienced and is favored by the Lord can understand that everything is being done according to the Lord's supreme plan. So that takes great favor of the Lord to be able to understand that behind everything is Krishna. And only if one has this depth of faith can one be free from anxiety. Because a devotee is a devotee, that means that he trusts Krishna, that he lives in Krishna's plan, in Krishna's hands, in Krishna's mercy. And he is very comfortable with that. Feeling fully safe, like a child in the lap of his father or mother. So everything is being done according to the Lord's supreme plan. My dear Lord, your own potencies. By your own potencies, you are the original cause of the material elements, as well as the performing instruments, the workers of the senses, the controlling demigods of senses, the intelligence and the ego, as well as everything else. So everything has come from you. By your energy, you manifest this entire cosmic creation, maintain it and dissolve it. Through your energy alone, everything is sometimes manifest and sometimes not manifest. You are therefore the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the cause of all causes. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Everything is going on by your potency, by your power. Therefore, all I can do when you are trying to kill me is offer my respectful obeisances unto you and surrender unto you. What else can I do? So, Prabhupada's purport, again explaining the position of the Lord, and then bringing that same point at the end of the last purport right back. All activities begin with the creation of the total energy, the Mahatattva. Then by the agitation of the three gunas, the physical elements are created, as well as the mind, ego, and the controllers of the senses. All of these are created one after another by the inconceivable energy of the Lord. In modern electronics, a mechanic may, by pushing only one button, set off an electronic chain reaction by which so many actions are carried out one after another. Similarly, the Supreme Personality of Godhead pushes the button of creation, and different energies create the material elements and various controllers of the physical elements. And their subsequent interactions follow the inconceivable plan of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he is the supreme controller, creator, controller, and nothing exists or can happen without his sanction, or for that matter according to his plan, his inconceivable plan. My dear Lord, you are always unborn. Once in the form of the original boar, you rescued me from the waters in the bottom of the universe. So this was described previously in the second and third cantos as Varahadev. You rescued me previously Through your own energy, you created all the physical elements, the senses, and the heart for the maintenance of the world. My dear Lord, in this way you once protected me by rescuing me from the water. And consequently, your name has been famous as Dhara Dhara, he who holds the planet Earth. Yet at the present moment, even though you rescued me, in the present moment, in the form of a great hero, you're about to kill me with sharpened arrows. I am, however, just like a boat on the water, keeping everything afloat. Prabhupada's purport. The Lord is known as Dhara Dhara, meaning he who keeps the planet Earth on his tusks as the boar incarnation. Thus the planet Earth in the shape of a cow is accounting the contradictory acts of the Lord. Although he once saved the Earth, he now wants to upset the Earth, which is like a boat on water. No one can understand the activities of the Lord. Due to a poor fund of knowledge, human beings sometimes think the Lord's activities contradictory. And the final verse and purport in this chapter, the last verse we'll read tonight. So when the verses speak so much about the fact that the Lord is in control, this creator and controller, and everything is going on by his power, and Prabhupada's purports again and again bring up the point that the Lord has a plan behind everything. So we're wondering naturally, what plan does the Lord have here in dealing with the earth? He's frightening the earth so terribly, and the earth is saying, please don't kill me, don't kill me. So what plan is behind this? So we'll find out. My dear Lord, the earth concludes the words, I am also the creation of one of your energies composed of the three modes of material nature. Consequently, I am bewildered by your activities. You have your plan, but I can't figure it out what it is. I am bewildered by it. So the intelligence, even if one is so powerful like the earth, it is limited and actually unable to fully comprehend the Lord's plan. So the earth admits this. I cannot understand what you have in mind, but I am surrendering unto you. I am bewildered by your activities. Even the activities of your devotees cannot be understood, and what to speak of your pastimes. Thus everything appears to us to be contradictory and wonderful. So when one looks at the activities of the Lord, the plans of the Lord, the activities of the Lord to pure devotees, they are very wonderful, inconceivable, and although apparently contradictory, we should take them as ununderstandable to us, but accepting that there is something wonderful behind everything that happens by Krishna's mercy. It is always moving. Everything is moving, cannot move otherwise, other than Krishna's plan. Prabhupada's purport. The activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in his various forms and incarnations are always uncommon and wonderful. It is not possible for a tiny human being to estimate the purpose and plans of such activities. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has said that unless the Lord's activities are accepted as inconceivable, they cannot be explained. And accepting them as inconceivable, basically it says, by definition, that you cannot understand them or explain them. So that's the only way to understand the Lord's activities and plans, is by accepting that the plan is there. There is some wonderful transcendental purpose to it, and it is inconceivable. That is the only explanation. The Lord is eternally existing as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Goloka Vrindavan. He has also simultaneously expanded himself in innumerable forms, beginning with Lord Brahma, Lord Nrsingadev, Lord Varaha, and all the incarnations coming directly from Sankarshan. Sankarshan is the expansion of Baladev, and Baladev is the first manifestation of Krishna. Therefore, all these incarnations are known as Kala. The word Ishwaranam refers to all the personalities of Godhead. So he has unlimited, equally, or basically equally, unlimited forms, unlimitedly powerful forms. So how could there be more than one unlimited? Impossible. Goloka Vrindavan is unlimitedly big. It is infinite in size. So if it's infinite, is there anything outside of it? No, but yet there are other things. There's so many Vaikuntha planets. There are unlimited Vaikuntha planets, and each one of the unlimited Vaikuntha planets is unlimited. But yet Goloka Vrindavan is bigger. Can you be bigger than something unlimited? Impossible. But yet Goloka Vrindavan is bigger. It's more vast. So can we understand these things? Not really. We can understand that they're inconceivable. We can understand it a little bit, maybe. We can say Goloka Vrindavan is bigger, maybe in the sense that things occur there that don't occur anywhere else, even the Vaikuntha planets. So it is more expansive in that sense. But we cannot understand really how the living entity is situated. We can't understand the connection between the living entity and Maya. We can't understand where our own free will begins and where Krishna's control begins. He's the supreme controller, yet we have our own independence. There are so many things we get hints of if we think about them deeply, but actually we cannot understand. So these things are going on, everything is going on by the Lord's inconceivable power, inconceivable Shakti, Achintya Shakti. So Jiva Goswami says that unless one accepts that the Lord has inconceivable potency, there's no meaning to Him being the Lord, the Supreme Lord, to Him being transcendental. So this is practically the first premise in the definition of what is God. He is inconceivable because of His limitlessness and transcendentalness. He is inconceivable to the living entity. Therefore, the ascending process of using our intelligence or our own abilities to understand Him can never work because He is beyond. The word Ishvaranam refers to the personality of Godhead, as stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ramadi Murtisho Kalaniyamen Atishtam. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is confirmed that all the incarnations are partial expansions or kala of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. One should not take the plural number of the word Ishwaranam to mean that there are many Godheads. The fact is that God is one, but He exists eternally and expands Himself in innumerable forms and acts in various ways. Sometimes the common man is bewildered by all this and considers such activities contradictory, but they are not contradictory. There is a great plan behind all of the Lord's activities. For our understanding, it is sometimes said that the Lord is situated in the heart of the thief as well as in the heart of the householder. But the super soul in the heart of the thief dictates, go and steal things from that particular house. And at the same time, the Lord tells the householder, now be careful of thieves and burglars. These instructions to different persons appear contradictory, yet we should know that the super soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, has some plan, and we should not consider such activities contradictory. The best course, but yet how to consider them? How should we deal with all the things in life and in the Shastra, and even in spiritual life, that that go beyond our intelligence to be able to understand. So the best course of is to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead wholeheartedly, and being protected by Him, remain peaceful. So very, very, very important instructions, and very, very, very difficult instructions to follow. Just by following this one instruction, that accepting that we are in Krishna's hands and that all is happening by His divine grace, by truly understanding that and yet acting to please Him, not just saying, well, everything happens by Him, so it doesn't make a difference what I do. I can do anything I want, any nonsense I want, not like that. But trying to serve Him, surrender to Him, while accepting that all happens by His grace. Tateyanukampam susumikshamano bhunjane vapmakripavabha. Come, vidvagvipudan, vidatanam namaste, jivatiyo mukti padesa dayabhak. Just that one, this one thing is the secret of Krishna consciousness, and it is enough to liberate one. That one point, again, is enough to liberate one. But it is a subtle point, and one must be very advanced to do it. Even how can we surrender with our own individuality? We want to do that, and yet we take responsibility for our actions, and yet accept supreme control, and not a blade of grass moves without His will. So what does that do to our independence and ability to surrender even? And therefore some people will say, you ask them, when will you become a devotee? Oh, when Krishna wants. When will you go to Vrindavan? Oh, when Krishna calls me. So what part do we have in it? Because actually Krishna is always calling us to go back home to Vrindavan. But we have to give ourselves to Him, and there is our freedom in there. Yet He's the Supreme Controller, and yet we don't have the power to do it. But yet we have to. We have to make our attempt. So that prayer, I'll just read that little that purport of where Prabhupada quotes Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, my dear Lord, whatever I have, even my mind, the center of all material necessities, namely my home, my body, and whatever I have in connection with this body, I now surrender unto You. It is Yours. Use for Your service. Let me use everything in Your service. And what? So I'm doing that. That is my side. My attempt to give everything to You is my side. Everything that I have. What do I have? Everyone has their abilities, their talents, their whatever, the body, their mind, money, their words. So whatever it is I have, possessions, family, whatever it is I have, I surrender to You and sincerely try to use in Your service. Abilities, whatever ability I have, I surrender unto You. Then on the other side, okay, I'm giving this to You. Now what do I expect from You? When we give our money in the shop, we want something in return. Well, when we give everything and surrender to Krishna, what do we expect in return for this type of exalted devotee? You are now completely independent to act however you like. You do with me as you like. You can kill me, and if you like, you can save me. In any case, I'm your eternal servant, and you have every right to do whatever you like. This is very exalted consciousness. Very exalted consciousness. This fully surrendered consciousness. It's bhakti. It's wonderful. And this is the price of going back home, back to Godhead. The love that impels this and faith that impels this is wonderful, is worshipable, it is bhakti. So therefore Prabhupada in two places said one needs favor, mercy, to be able to be in these type of consciousnesses. And one needs knowledge. Knowledge of who Krishna is, because how could we surrender to Krishna if we are not, if we don't know his power, his position? How could we place ourselves in his hands, his compassion? Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Sure,
Roman. Thank you very much. In Kingston 2, points being made, and this one sufficient experience, one can understand the transcendental activities of the Lord. And Prabhupada qualifies it that it's a big failure to understand. But in his last statement, he says, one who has experienced and spoken from the Lord can understand. So does that mean that experience is required by way of realization?
It seems. See, experience, just like there's the physical act or the mental act of experiencing something, but we're doing it, right? But it is Krishna that gives the actual experience. Because there are so many people who will do so many things. They may do the same thing, but what they experience will be different, depending upon who they are and how Krishna, what Krishna is giving them. So to have the actual experience of these things, of understanding who Krishna is comes by grace, by favor. But that favor can be, one can attract that kind of favor too. So one has some freedom in it, but to have the experience or the knowledge or the realization, that's usually how we would say the word experience, vigyan, or realized knowledge, a realization that comes by grace, by mercy, by Krishna within the heart, the dami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayanti te. Sir? Points again. She's previously said almost the same things, and Prithumaraj has answered her and chastised her, and she said the same things again.
So is that significant? Also, that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's surrender is attitude of surrender is
important. Significant?
Yeah,
I'm not sure what you mean.
She wasn't demonstrating that same or that
in the same mood,
yeah.
But the pastime must go on. So, it is surrendered. But being surrendered doesn't mean that you don't have to, that you can't say anything. It's like she's saying, this is how I understand what's happening. But I'm in your hands. Whatever you do with me is up to you. Practically speaking, she had no other choice other than to surrender. Prithumaraj was there with a bow maybe or a sword or whatever. You can kill me, but here's how it looks from my point of view. So I'm in your hands.
So in that case, is it like the teacher with the stick? Like there's no real possibility of killing.
But the earth isn't feeling like that. She was trembling in great fear. It's So possibly there are, surrender can be manifest in different ways. But ultimately what it does mean, Sharanagati, is placing oneself and one's welfare fully under the protection of Krishna and serving him in this serving mood. That's one way to understand it. So she's doing that. Any other questions? Yeah.
So here on the line, Mary is one of conceiving that she's not quite her own resources kind of understandable. So what levels of what progress is surrender with that?
She's not saying she can't understand the Lord. She can't understand what's happening. And she'll explain a little more later also about why she withheld the grains. More in a way that our compassion is evoked. Her understanding was why he was. Her lack of understanding is what was going. How is Krishna's mercy going to be revealed in this, through this? Consequently, I'm bewildered by your activities because I'm in Maya. I can't understand. I'm bewildered by your activities. You're standing there about to kill me. Everything is resting upon me. I've done nothing. I'm bewildered by your activities. So even, and then not only your activities are hard to understand, but so are your devotees, and so are your pastimes, all your pastimes. So everything seems to be contradictory and wonderful. But wonderful is the point. Who can understand what wonderful thing will occur as a result of this? Okay, let's stop. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Pritam Raj ki jai, Bhumi Mata ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Jiva Goswami Pada ki jai.